the Public News Service Daily Newscast, December the 28th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. More folks in North Carolina are struggling with substance abuse disorders, according to the latest America Health Rankings report.
State data shows 9 North Carolinians died each day from a drug overdose in 2020, a 40% increase from the previous year. Chief Medical Officer for UnitedHealthcare, Dr. Rhonda Randall, says that mirrors a nationwide trend. She points to new data showing drug deaths nationwide increased by 30%.
This is the largest yearly increase in drug deaths since we've been looking at it in 2007. That means nearly 92,000 additional people died in the United States due to drug injury and overdose.
There were more than 3,100 drug overdose deaths in North Carolina in 2020, according to the CDC. Over the past two decades, more than 28,000 North Carolinians have lost their lives to drug overdose, according to the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
According to the report, suicide is the 12th leading cause of death among Americans, with mental illness and substance abuse disorders being the most significant risk factors for those suicidal behaviors. Redeploy Illinois as a community-based alternative to incarceration. It keeps kids in their home communities.
For decades, most youthful offenders in Illinois were sent to juvenile detention, but 17 years ago, state officials decided there was a better way to help kids headed down the wrong path. The program, considered a model for other states, evaluates the young person's life situation and provides social services to prevent further brushes with the law. George Timberlake, a former judge who was active in developing the program, says it benefits the youth, their family, and the community.
It has been successful, not only to not make things worse for the kid in the justice system, but also to actually improve the chances that that kid wasn't going to simply learn how to be a crook in prison.
Since 2005, Redeploy Illinois has provided services to more than 4,800 young people and their families with measurable results. And by this year, commitments to juvenile facilities were down by 65%. Mark Richardson reporting.
Now from Politico, the Supreme Court Tuesday blocked the lifting of the Trump-era Title 42 order on migration, forcing the Biden administration to leave in place the federal directive that has prevented the entry of millions of asylum seekers at the southern border. Administration officials have favored ending the public health-based order, but have scrambled to finalize plans to deal with the anticipated surge. This is Public News Service. Tennessee is working to overcome the state's teacher shortage, especially in rural areas, with a residency-based program for would-be educators. More on that from our Daniel Smith.
The goal is to give teachers in training the classroom experience and mentoring they need along with their higher education as part of the state's Grow Your Own Job Training Partnership. Aaron Chris, who heads the Grow Your Own Center, says the U.S. Department of Labor and Workforce Development approved this registered teacher's apprenticeship, the first in the nation. She says sites across the state have received grants to encourage people to become educators.
Tennessee Department of Education has funded a $20 million grant to grow teachers from local communities. They become licensed educators in the school buildings and communities where they're already working and serving, many of them as teaching assistants or paraprofessionals. They can earn money while they learn.
CRISP says from 200 to 250 people across Tennessee will start this new career chapter in January.
In one of the final moves of 2022, Congress approved a $25 million funding increase for the National Labor Relations Board.
The NLRB has been struggling to keep up with the demand and the number of workers who want to unionize. This year, it saw a 53% increase in petitions to unionize and says the agency will need much more funding to keep up. Charlie Wishman, president of the Iowa AFL-CIO, says the higher caseload is far outpacing the available staff, which has a direct impact on Iowa's 1,400 unionized workers.
We don't have enough cops on the beat to make sure that we're enforcing labor law. So it is incredibly important. They feel like they've been called essential for years now, but they are feeling like they're being treated like expendable instead of it.
Finally, our Edwin J. Vieira tells us the Sierra Club's Virginia chapter says it has spent the past year working towards climate solutions.
Specifically, they've worked as a group to protect clean energy standards and maintain the Virginia Clean Economy Act. Chapter spokesperson Tim Sawinski says what they don't want to see more of in the new year is Virginians facing high energy cost burdens from oil and gas companies. He sees the state's chief executive as one of the chief concerns in that regard.
The biggest obstacle that comes to mind is Governor Youngkin. He is on the other side of the environmental and climate issues. He is more friendly to polluters and wants to push for a pro-polluter agenda. So we're trying to make sure that the policies that he pushes for that are regressive don't go unanswered.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us at great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and find our host indicators at publicnewsservice.org.